say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Dr. Bruce Edelstein and with Sue Skipper. And you two have been, you've been a practicing periodontist, Dr. Edelstein, for how long now? Is it?
30 years.
30, you look great, 30. By the way. I'm serious. I mean,
thank you.
I usually make jokes with people, you know what I mean? You don't look a day over 80 or whatever. But you look very good for somebody who's been practicing 30 years.
My joints are falling apart, but but the outside is holding up okay.
Has the industry changed in 30 years, would you say? How about the state of the art?
Yes, the state of the art has changed so dramatically. It's unbelievable, the advancements that we've had and the new technologies that have become available. It's remarkable how it's changed.
Do young dentists consult you from time to time and say, hey, listen, because of your experience, you know, I've got a problem here. I'm not sure how to proceed with this particular patient. Can you give me some advice?
Absolutely. It's not just a young dentist. It's a general dentist or a restorative dentist will frequently call upon a periodontist for advice. The best way to look at that is we are trained to make a strong foundation. And providing good dental work is paramount upon a strong foundation. There's an old saying, you build a house upon rock, not upon sand. And that's what we do. We create sound foundations.
Can they email an x-ray to you and say, hey, can you take a look at this? Is there something, what is your analysis? What do you see? That kind of thing.
All the time. Every day I'll get an x-ray, a photograph.
They can email
or both.
Now.
Emailed.
Wow.
And I guess that became common about 7-8 years ago or so. But it's not only someone in town. Frequently, I'll have a consultation. I can email across the country or to another country and vice versa. And we communicate digitally frequently, every day. I emailed a set of x-rays to Northodontist today, for instance, that I needed their help with.
Mm. You know, I want our audience to know, Dr. Edelstein, or maybe Sue, I'll bring you in on this.
That, sure.
Because it might be a little embarrassing to you, Dr. Edelstein, but Dr. Edelstein is very well thought of in the industry, and
yes.
He's got incredible credentials, a stellar record of accomplishment, of achievement.
Correct.
Tell us, you know, you've worked with Dr. Edelstein for 20 years. He lectures. He's at what I would consider to be the top of the profession.
I would too. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's been very rewarding to be a part of a practice like that. You go home at night, you feel good about what you've done. You feel good about your patients. Good doctors refer to good doctors. We get to work with a lot of good doctors across town because they want to use the best periodontist in the city to work with. And it is. It's a more exciting place when the doctor who sets the pace for the practice, the tone for the practice, and what kind of care our patients are getting, it makes or breaks your job enjoyment.
Hmm. Does a dentist have to have some kind of board certification to hold himself out as a periodontist, let's say? Or technically, can just any dentist can call himself a periodontist?
No.
And do periodontal work?
Yes. Technically, by license, any dentist can do periodontal work, but to be put themselves out as a periodontist, they have to be either board certified or board eligible, which means they have the same educational background. It requires a 2 or 3 year training program in that specialty to be call yourself a specialist.
But a GP, I'm going to call
yes.
it, could do periodontal work if he chooses to, as long as he doesn't hold himself out as a periodontist. It might not be the wisest thing to do, but technically he could. Or
yes,
she could?
Technically, by license, a general practitioner can. And some are quite proficient, and some are not. So it's always wise to go to someone who is highly educated in the field.
Look, it's a cliche, you know, experience is the best teacher, okay? But don't you really feel like you're much more knowledgeable now than you were 30 years ago when you first started out?
Oh, my goodness, it's unbelievable. I'd say the difference is huge. I do things now that I, when I think about what I did 25, 30 years ago, I can almost laugh at them because of the learning curve, the experience, the wealth of continuing education. I'll probably take a minimum of two, probably three times the amount of continuing education that's required to stay ahead. And the difference is tremendous over the years, what we've been able to accomplish and the different way we're treating people. Mm-hmm. We're treating people in more conservative ways, more minimally invasive procedures have come around that enhance the patient's experience, and the outcomes could be as good or better.
Mm. And not just clinically, but technology. The whole field of technology has increased our learning curve. I mean, there are some days we feel like we're little mini computer technicians at work, you know, because we now have CT scans and we now have digital x-rays. We've got to monitor the computer equipment. We've got a whole learning curve with that compared to 30 years ago.
You know, a client of ours who's a car dealer says the same thing about his technicians.
Absolutely.
They're computer programmers.
Yeah. Yeah.
In order to understand what's going on in the car.
You just don't go to work anymore and stick your fingers in someone's mouth. It's, I've got to boot up the computer. I've got to save this data. I've got to back this up. It's a tremendous amount of responsibility now.
You know, it gets me too, and this is in any field now. If the computers go down for some reason,
yeah,
people freak out.
Yes.
We have it here. You know what I mean? And people, they all start freaking out. Of course, they blame me, you know, because I'm the general manager. It's all my fault. You know what I mean? They go, this place, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, we have people on call.
Once every month or two, our main computer may have a glitch or something or a bug. And it's very frustrating. And thank God we have some very good technical support. And we usually are up and going in an hour or so. But it is very frustrating. I couldn't agree more.
Mm. How did you pick? Your office is in Midtown. Buckhead, really, I guess you would say. You're right across the street from Piedmont Hospital.
Yes.
And Sue, I think you said even a better landmark is the Darlington.
Yeah, right next to the population sign.
What did you tell me about the Darlington? Who played there?
Jerry Farber years ago and Dick Van Dyke. There used to be a little amphitheater inside the apartment complex, and they would perform there.
How long ago? Must have been.
From what our patients.
50 years ago.
Yeah, I've learned this from our patients, because we have a lot of patients who have lived in the area and talked about how that was the singles apartment building, and that was the wild place to be. I think the old nickname was Pill Hill.
Really?
It was, yeah, a lot of drugs on that strip in the 60s and 70s. But I think it does go back that far when Dick Van Dyke and Jerry Farber were here.
I mean, I watched the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah.
I don't think that was any later than the mid-60s,
no,
maybe a little
not.
Earlier.
No,
so
not
So it's probably
at all.
Before he was...
It could have been. I really didn't. I just, gleaning from my patients telling the stories and having been there, it sounded like it was the 60s, kind of early 70s era.
Where do your patients come from? Now, I'm going to figure that maybe your wheelhouse is with, I don't know, 10, 20 miles of your office. But, I mean, is that true? Or, I mean, you probably have patients coming very long distances, I would imagine.
We do. That's a very good point. Could be 80% or so of our patients are in the greater Atlanta area. But you'd be surprised how many patients we have that will come to see us from North Georgia, North Carolina, Florida. They are either
Virgin Islands. We have sisters that fly in.
We do. So quite a few folks have been thrilled with what we've been able to provide for them, and they will travel long distances to come see us.
Isn't that nice, that kind of loyalty where they
it is.
They
it's
trust
humbling.
You?
I love it.
I think trust, if I had to pick one word, it's trust, I think, that they trust your competence, they trust your honesty, your integrity, you know, they don't want somebody else. You know that mouth, you know.
And we don't take that position lightly. We're very serious about earning that trust and maintaining it.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get down to the guts of periodontal disease, and it's apparently of epidemic proportions. So stay tuned, folks. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, and visit their website, mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide when we return.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue and Dr. Edelstein. Again, folks, visit mygumdoc.com. Where did you, from whence does that that URL come, Sue Skipper? How'd you
pick gumdoc? That was actually before I worked for Dr. Edelstein, and I've been with him 20 years, but when I came on board, his nickname kind of was the gumdoc.
Yes.
He would sometimes throw bashes for the referring doctors and their staff, come rock with the gumdoc. That was before my day, and we've just kind of kept that nickname around, and we thought it would be fun and maybe appealing and not so scary. Why not keep it? It's fun.
This was in the infancy of email addresses.
You're
exactly
20
years
right.
ago.
Yes.
Well, I didn't have any.
We didn't either.
You know, somebody said to me, God, 20 years ago, I was over at another radio station, and they said, well, I just sent you an email. I had no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I didn't want to show how stupid I was, so I said, okay, great. I'll read your email, whatever it is. So, Dr. Edelstein, let's talk about periodontal disease. It's of epidemic proportions. Are people surprised when you tell them they have periodontal disease, or do they usually suspect that there's something amiss?
Some people will suspect that something is wrong, and we'd be more than happy to talk about some of the symptoms in a few minutes, but some people are totally shocked. They are totally blindsided that they have an issue. Just today, we examined someone who had very advanced periodontal disease. He's going to be losing one tooth. He needs a lot of treatment. He's very unhealthy, and a number of teeth are compromised. And he had absolutely no idea. He was completely blindsided. If I can summarize it in one phrase, it is unbelievably undiagnosed and undertreated as well.
What does it look like?
Well, either we as professionals or patients themselves can recognize swollen gums. A lot of times, some uninformed general dentist may tell a patient they have puffy gums, but it's not puffy gums. It's usually a mild infection that causes that swelling or even advanced. So there could be red swollen gums. There could be bleeding upon brushing, flossing. There could be bad taste, bad breath is a big one. Sue, do you have any other?
Well, what was interesting about the case you were referring to that
today?
We saw earlier
mm-hmm.
today, when he smiled, he had beautiful teeth, a beautiful smile, really didn't have a lot of obvious signs and symptoms, but his disease was advanced far into the bone levels around his teeth. He really didn't have a lot of outside symptoms. And that can be the tricky part of gum disease sometimes. You can have what we call disease masking, or where you don't have some of these symptoms. If you look at it, it looks good. But you take an x-ray and you're really shocked.
You know what gets me, because you're both very experienced, Dr. Edelstein, I'll throw this one at you. I mean, I bet we'd be appalled to know, we laymen, what a high percentage of the public doesn't even care. They don't, you know what I mean? They don't even know to know, if you know what I'm saying. It doesn't, you know, I spoke to a podiatrist once who told me that she had patients who didn't even take their shoes off of their feet for, I'm serious, a week or more at a time.
Oh, wow.
Now, I can't imagine.
Wow.
I can't imagine a day.
No.
But do you encounter people from time to time that they don't even know? They don't know they don't know?
It would be rare for someone not to care. Most of the time when we advise a patient how dire their situation is, or it could be early disease as well, they are pretty motivated by understanding the consequences. Locally, you're talking about tooth loss, loss of jawbone, and there could be that there are connections today with systemic disease, higher rates of heart attack, fatal heart attack, stroke, diabetes, low birth weight, delivery of babies, and women that are pregnant that have periodontal disease. So there are really, and there are probably a dozen others that we'd like to dedicate a show to, but there are very dire systemic consequences as well as local consequences.
Erectile dysfunction, I believe.
Yes, mm-hmm. Erectile dysfunction is...
We're going to dedicate a show to that?
Of course. So
can I be a part of that? No,
absolutely.
Who knows what the gum dot can do for you?
Yes.
How early do people exhibit... signs of periodontal disease?
We just saw a 14-year-old girl yesterday.
14.
With advanced, used to be called juvenile periodontal disease. Now it's called aggressive. It's a form of gum disease. It's not terribly common, but it exists. It can be that young. Now, age is probably
14 years old, and she's almost certainly going to lose 3 permanent teeth.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why? Did she do something wrong? Is that a bad question?
No,
actually, she didn't. What we have found is that there's an aggressive bacteria that takes advantage of an individual like this at a young age. The bacteria does run in families. So all of the siblings have been advised to see us for an examination. And it turns out when you examine their immune system, there is a very subtle alteration in their immune system. So she did nothing wrong. And it turns out that subtlety is so minor in that shift in her immune system that she could not exhibit any other disease for the rest of her life except early onset advanced periodontal disease. Mm. And it is horrific for these young people that do have it.
If you examine somebody periodically who's got gum disease, do you check to see, in other words, if there's changes in the condition of their mouth? You look for change. Like I once had a doctor say to me, well, we've got this chest x-ray of you and it looks fine. Now we want to see if it changes.
Yes.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yes, we will take sequential x-rays all the time and see if it changes in a downhill direction or improves, because we do have, and a subsequent show will be dedicated toward regeneration. We can regenerate loss of attachment and bone around teeth and gum tissue as well. So we do take x-rays and photographs to see if there are downhill changes or positive changes. Absolutely. We do that on a regular basis.
Isn't it amazing? Have we been able to do these things for very long? Regenerate. When I was a kid growing up, were they able to regenerate the bone in our jaw, in our mouth?
I'm thrilled. That's one of the most thrilling and challenging things that I do, is to have an opportunity to regenerate loss of bone.
How long have we had that technology, though?
Well, we were doing it 30 years ago.
We were.
Just with different techniques. 30 years ago, we used pure bone grafting techniques, either from autogenous bone from someone's own mouth or body to freeze-dried bone from a donated source, to animal bone and synthetic choices. Today we're using growth factors more, and we're using different collagen membranes and as well as true growth factors to promote healing and bone growth around teeth and the jawbone.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It
yeah.
is amazing.
From other sources, huh? From animals?
Yes.
Say?
Yes. Some very creative
bark or something.
One of the more common sources growth factors that we use in our area, there are a few. One common source is from someone's own blood. We can spin down their blood cells and concentrate platelets, and that is a source of growth factors. That's an autogenous source from someone's own body. Another source is it's called Emdogain, and that's the brand name. And the listeners out there are welcome to go to their website. Just Google Emdogain. There are about 450 articles to its credit. And what they do is they take juvenile pig jawbones, and they take the tooth buds in these juvenile pig jawbones, and they purify the proteins. And when those proteins are introduced into a proper environment, the body thinks it's a developing tooth in a 10-year-old and stimulates regeneration.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes. That is an amazing
And then there's also a synthetic source or two as well, where if we do have synthetic growth factors.
Is this technology, I'm going to call it technology, I think it's the right word to use, but I mean, is it available all over the country? If I go to a small town and, yeah, everybody picks on Mississippi, if I go to a small town, Mississippi, is the, you know, is a periodontist going to be able to do these kinds of things, or are you sort of on the cutting edge here in Atlanta?
I think so, if they're properly trained, and today FedEx goes everywhere, so
yeah.
so they could look something up online, and it would be readily available to them with the proper education and training.
I think with all new technology, there's a wave of those of you in the profession that will try this first. So initially, it may not be readily all over the country. We do have another new source of technology in the office that right now we're the only periodontist in the state of Georgia that uses it. It's a special camera that goes down into the gum line. So that technology is not available right now in small towns in Georgia. 10 years from now, it might be. You know, Emdogain, the product you were talking about earlier, is more readily available.
Is Dr. Edelstein sort of a go-to for some of these, since he's the only one who utilizes this technology?
Yes.
Is it sometimes, is it a challenge of getting the word out to dentists about the things that are available?
You know? Absolutely.
So look, many dentists, I'm going to guess, are very good at general dentistry. They're very good at it, but that's all that they, that's all that they even purport to do is general dentistry, and they leave the more specialized things to, you know, the big boys or whatever. But is it a challenge for you getting the word out to them that it, these things are available?
It's a great challenge, and for many years now, I've been giving lectures to my dental colleagues, either locally or nationally, to help them, as well as hygienists and other staff members in dental offices, to help them understand what advanced techniques are available. So yes, it is a challenge, and we have risen to that challenge by giving programming to help them learn.
You know, yesterday I was on the phone with a dentist and happened to mention this radio show. And mentioned, he said, well, who does the show? And I mentioned you. And he knows you very well. And he says, you're one of the best.
Oh, that's very kind.
He says he is one of the, he says, I've consulted him many times. I've worked with him many times. I'm not going to mention his name. I'll tell you when we go to the break. But he said he's one of the best out there.
Oh.
But it's wonderful to get that kind of reference from another professional.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to be able to have that.
And by the way, he's not a blood relative of yours or anything like this. I happen to know that this fellow, you know. You know, you mentioned transfusion of, you mentioned platelets.
Yes.
You know, I've heard about this. I don't know, you're a sports fan, Dr. Edelstein.
Yes. So
now some of these ball players, some of these pitchers are getting platelets transfused.
They are.
Into their elbow, into their shoulder, whatever. And this seems like what you're talking about is akin to that kind of thing.
It's exactly the same, actually. And I've been using it for a good 10 years now. It's platelet concentrate. You concentrate someone's platelets, and it turns out there's a higher concentration of growth factors in the platelets. So you're mobilizing the body's own stem cells to differentiate into cells that could heal an area. We've been using it for about 10 years, and I know that some orthopedists have been using it in different joint repairs for some time now, but I hear it from time to time still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, I've got to go to a break. When we come back, I'd like to ask you this question, Dr. Edelstein, because we talked about periodontal disease being of epidemic proportions. We can talk all day about that, too, by the way, because it sounds rather scary, actually, you know, that it's an epidemic at this point. We talked about heart attacks, strokes, kidney disease, et cetera, arthritis coming from periodontal disease. So I want to ask you when we come back, don't answer just yet. When we come back from the break, is the mouth kind of the window to, you know, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. Is the mouth the window to the general condition of our bodies? Can you look at somebody, look inside their mouth, and have a pretty good ballpark idea of what kind of general shape that body is in? We're going to talk about that and more when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. Back with more in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Let me ask you first, before you cite some statistics about periodontal disease, if you don't mind me asking. I know you do have, you know, I said it was a stellar record of accomplishment, Dr. Edelstein. Tell us about your educational background. Where are you from, first of all?
I'm from New York. Mm-hmm. And
you said that almost apologetically, by the way. Well, I'm from New York.
I do apologize because I'm married to someone born and raised in Atlanta. So, and I'll never forget when I met her parents for the first time. They're both from Savannah. They moved to Atlanta when they were both teenagers. And one of the first things Amy's dad said was, "You're bringing home a Yankee." So. And then if you remember that snowstorm we had 2 years ago when everyone was stranded, mm-hmm. he was driving all over the place, and I told him he better get his rear end home because the roads are terrible.
But he didn't know because he's a Southerner. He's not
right.
used to it.
Right. But he had a four-wheel drive. He had a Tahoe, and he laughed at me. I got one Yank in the family, and he's the one scared stiff of the weather. Meanwhile, it took him over 5 hours to get a mile and a half home. So,
all right, since you opened the door here, so I'm going to ask you.
Sure.
Dr. Edelstein, now you live how far from your office?
10 minutes. I live in Sandy Springs.
All right, so how long did it take you to get home?
Well, I left at 1 o'clock, so I saw the weather report. I saw that the precipitation was melting, and then definitely going to freeze within an hour or two. So I hightailed it home. I was home by 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Whoa!
Yes, I was lucky, and only because we left at 1 o'clock. And an hour later, it would have been a different scenario.
You know something? I left at 1 o'clock, recorded a radio show here, and then we all left at 1 o'clock. I live in East Cobb. Took me 8 hours and 8 minutes to get home.
Oh, wow.
Get home at 9:08. I still have it in my iPhone. What time?
Wow.
Sue, you live a little further away than Dr. Edelstein,
no,
a little bit?
Actually, the opposite.
Oh, you're closer?
3 blocks up the street across from the Collier side of Piedmont.
Oh,
Hospital.
Well, maybe you have a significant other who's outside the perimeter.
Yeah,
up north.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, Sandy Springs. Yeah, and I stayed at work and got work done, and I still made it home before the rest of the staff. I was home in 3 minutes.
You know, it was surreal.
I don't have a bad story to tell about
it. Was
that.
Surreal.
It really was. It really was. I mean, even though I really wasn't affected as far as my commute goes, I did have friends stuck on the road for 18, 20 hours even, being taken in by strangers.
My wife said that I talked to her more that day than I had in the previous 5 years combined. We just talked on the phone for hours.
I would have done the same thing.
She was at home.
Yep, yeah, of course. Well, thank God for that.
All right. So you're from Long Island originally. Yes. There's so many people down here from Long Island, and you went to Cornell University. Maybe you can take us from there.
Sure. I went to Cornell University.
Ivy League.
Yes, Ivy League school. I was thrilled with the program, and it was a wonderful experience. I graduated from Cornell, and then I came down here to go to Emory. And fell in love with Atlanta, Emory Dental School, that is. I fell in love with Atlanta, and then I went back up to the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia to do my residency training.
Philly, a little bit more like New York, you know?
Yes.
Than Atlanta.
And I knew the day I left Atlanta that I was going to come back.
Mm. Penn, though, you know, you went to three very, very good schools. And don't you think that has an impact on your work today?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
The training that you had, you know?
My mentors were the people that wrote the textbook.
Wow.
And it was, along the way, it was truly an amazing experience.
Any honors along the way?
A few. I graduated Cornell, at top 15% of the class in the Honor Society. And Dean's List every semester, and I graduated from Emory in the top 10% of the class, and again, the National Dental Honor Society from that program.
Wow.
Our listeners can't see, but he's blushing a little bit. He has a little hard time with
bragging.
Yeah. Just got back from vacation.
Yeah. Yes.
Where were you, the Outer Banks, you said?
I went to the Outer Banks. And
see any sharks?
not only didn't I see any sharks, but it was almost embarrassing watching me at the beach because I was maybe ankle deep with splashing water over my head because I didn't want to go any deeper than ankle deep.
Look, I don't blame you. That's where the people got yes. their arms ripped off or whatever.
Yeah, we were about 2 miles from where two of the shark attacks occurred. So
lovely.
Hmm.
Can you cite some statistics, Dr. Yes. Edelstein, about periodontal disease?
Yes. The CDC released a comprehensive study about 3 years ago, and it turns out that periodontal disease has been grotesquely underestimated, the prevalence in our society. And for adults over age 30, the prevalence for periodontitis, which means that it's advanced enough to cause destruction of the bone around the teeth, is 50%. Hmm. And once someone, and the prevalence at age 65 or over, is over 70%. So the prevalence was much higher than we ever expected, because all of the other previous studies, they kind of spot checked around the mouth. They didn't do comprehensive exams. And this CDC study is landmark because they did comprehensive exams on a large number of people, and they found out that this is truly an epidemic.
Why is this happening to us? What, are we doing something wrong?
Well, perhaps to some extent, routine dental care and routine cleanings are essential. But even in spite of that, a large number of people do get periodontal disease. Sue, do you have anything to add?
You know, the hygienist in me wants to immediately say, we don't floss enough, we don't pick up the string. And it's funny that the statistics kind of match perfectly. It's not 100% cause and effect. Certainly the young girl we talked about earlier had more of a genetic factor with her aggressive form of periodontal disease, but very few adults floss, and a lot of them have gum disease.
Hey, did they lie about it?
You just hit the nail on the head. There's a huge article right now going around in the news and social media about the high percentage of people that lie to their dentist about flossing. And we see that.
Can you tell?
I mean, it's obvious.
You can tell if they're lying.
Of course you can. Of course you can. They have a lot of plaque between their teeth. They have red swollen gums. You're removing it when you're doing their cleaning. It's there. It's present. You can't hide it. So we felt justified when that article came out. You know, we know it. But it's, you know, for those patients that just don't really know how to brush well, floss well, don't pursue regular cleanings, those patients could have a lot of their gum disease prevented or treated now and maintained much more beautifully. Sometimes that's all it takes in those types of cases.
You know, somebody who has, they're not flossing properly, let's say.
Yeah.
And they're an adult. They're 40, 50, 60 yeah. years of age, let's say. Maybe you can weigh on in this. Well, either one of you. You know, how often should they see their periodontist, let's say? In other words, should they be going more often? Maybe going to a dentist, let's say, every 3 or 4 months rather than, you know, once or twice a year? Would that be overkill?
No. There is a standard of care in our industry. If a patient has been treated for periodontal disease, the standard of care is that they should have their teeth cleaned every 3 months. We do have 30-year studies that prove if they will commit to quarterly cleanings every 3 months, they will leave this earth with more teeth in their mouth, spending fewer dollars on dental care. They will remain stable. In our profession, we prefer to alternate. They see us and get a really thorough checkup and exam, more geared toward their gums. We don't ignore their teeth. And then the next 3 months, they should see their general dentist. We don't want them to leave the general dentist because he plays a very important role. He can check their fillings, their restorations, and they don't ignore their gums. But we each have a focus and a special aspect to their overall care.
Am I right, Dr. Edelstein? I said before, I'm going to guess as a layman that there are some general dentists who are very, very good at what they do, maybe even better in some areas than perhaps you are as a periodontist, because they are such good generalists and they see patients every day for things that you don't see the patient specifically for.
Yeah, there are some that are just excellent clinicians. And there are some that think they're excellent clinicians, mm-hmm. and there's everything in between.
You know, I hate to say it, maybe we can talk about this in a subsequent segment, but a lot of times, you know, we're talking about insurance and we're talking about maybe the Affordable Care Act is going to come into play somewhere, but, you know, dentists they're business owners in most cases, unless they work for somebody else or some big conglomerate now, and they certain realities that sometimes could cloud somebody's judgment. Like, it could be for anybody. It could be in the radio business. It could be, you know what I'm saying?
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. We would like to dedicate a whole show to dental insurance and what it is and what it isn't. But I'm glad you mentioned the Affordable Care Act, because one of the hidden aspects of it, the Affordable Care Act, is driving up the cost of dental care for everyone. There's a 2.3% tax for medical devices. Dental equipment and the implants that we use and a lot of the materials that we use are considered medical devices. So the manufacturers have a 2.3% tax on a lot of the supplies and equipment that we get, and they have no choice but to eventually pass that on to us, and we have no choice but eventually pass that on to patients. So that 2.3% tax is to help offset the subsidies for the people that couldn't afford their plans. But that's one aspect of it that is driving up the cost of dental care, which is kind of interesting, making dental care less affordable, actually.
And this is the part, you know, we laymen don't, you know, we don't think about really, but you have to think about the reality of the expense of having an office, being taxed for medical devices, the Affordable Care Act, and sometimes it's just not, theory and reality are some, they don't always merge,
right.
You know? But we'll talk about that on a subsequent radio show. We do have to take a break. When we come back, I promise I want to ask you, Dr. Edelstein, as I promised I would ask before, about the mouth being kind of the window to the general state of the health of the rest of the body. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. Back with more in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Dr. Edelstein, your office is located in Buckhead. You're right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. And another landmark, Sue Skipper, we say, is, you know, the Darlington.
The Darlington Apartments, and next to the population side.
Yeah, what are we up to now? 6.3-something million,
right? Yeah.
People in Metro Atlanta. I've been in Metro Atlanta. I've been in Atlanta for 29 years. Okay, I'm originally from Philly. And I remember the Darlington, but I remember the figure was much lower. I don't think
it
was 2 million.
I can remember it saying 3-something.
Okay.
I think when I started, when we moved to that office, it was 4.2, 4.1.
When I moved here, it was under 2 million. It was 1.8 or 9
Which
million.
When was this?
77, when I started dental school at Emory.
All right. Sue, are you originally from Buffalo?
I am.
Okay, now it's all coming back. You must have thought you died and gone to heaven when you moved down to Georgia.
I did like the change. I missed
Stockbridge,
the snow a little bit, but I did like the change.
But Stockbridge was country.
It was country, and I moved from a very dense urban setting to a very country and rural setting. We thought we landed on JR's ranch. I mean, we had a house with a split rail fence and a subdivision. I never heard of that till I moved down south.
I mean, you were in high school, you said?
I was in junior high, yeah.
So was it a culture shock, though?
A little bit, yeah. Even the language. I was raised Catholic. I never heard of half of the religions till I moved down south. I was stymied when people would ask me, was I this, and I would just, I'm Catholic? Does that mean? It's just very different. The language was funny to me. I'll never forget the first time I heard someone say, hey, and they were saying hi to me. I was waiting for hey, comma, and the rest of the sentence. And
it's just
it took me a minute, yeah. But I've adapted it. I say hey and y'all and fixing, so.
Fixing, I'm fixing.
Yeah, I say it. I'm guilty.
Yeah. So Dr. Edelstein is the mouth of the window to the general state of the body. Can you look in somebody's mouth? And if you do a really careful examination, can you glean some ideas to their general health?
To some extent. Obviously, it's not a sensitive test and doesn't take the place of complete medical exam, including blood work. But we have been able to identify a number of patients that had diabetes, for instance, and insisted that they see their physician for help. Various immune problems, various blood issues we can detect by looking at the mouth.
Osteopenia, osteoporosis.
Yeah. We can detect a very thin periodontal shape to the gum tissues that is, we'd be suspicious that they have lower bone density, and we ask them to please see their physician for further evaluation. So, yes, we do on a pretty frequent occasion, we can detect various systemic maladies by looking at the mouth.
So if you look at somebody's mouth and you see that they haven't been taking care of themselves, you know, we're not talking about the 14-year-old girl that you were talking about before, Sue, who
just abject advanced disease in an adult patient. Right.
You know,
abject neglect.
Well, I would imagine there's a good chance they're neglecting other things about their health.
Probably so, yeah.
Because there's a lot of undiagnosed diabetes, for instance, out there, I'm told.
Absolutely.
Because they haven't gone to a doctor. They haven't been checked. They don't get checked regularly.
You're exactly right. I mean, these are the same patients when you do take their medical history. Oh, I see you take a blood pressure medication. Did you take it today? No. I know I need to do better.
Yeah, it's really tough to take a pill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a, man, I tell you.
Could be equally as tough to pick up a toothbrush to those patients too. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're there to help, and we're there to inform and help motivate them, help them try to feel better and value their health more.
And 14, that's the youngest you've ever seen, I take it, huh?
No.
Even younger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I've seen advanced, destructive, rapidly progressive periodontal disease, and probably the youngest would be someone with some baby teeth and some permanent teeth. I'd probably say 8 or 9.
Really?
On occasion, yeah.
Now, would it be inappropriate for a parent to take their child directly to a periodontist to get their gums checked as a screening measure, let's say?
It would not be inappropriate at all. As a matter of fact, a lot of our patients that we've treated that are so happy with the services that we provide, they may make an appointment for a cleaning for a child or their children.
You can do that for them?
Yeah. The best way to look at what we do is we'll fix problems around the teeth, gums, including implants now in our specialty, and then about 50% of what we do is pure prevention, excellent cleanings, and probably about 15% of the people that we see are young people that are healthy to keep them, usually friends or children of patients, to keep them from needing from having problems later and needing any help.
That thought, Jeff, I do think not just parents of children, but I do think an adult, certainly a senior, because of the prevalence of the statistics from this groundbreaking study, would do themselves a favor to just have a checkup with a gum specialist. Just come check. Come see us. Come see any periodontist.
So there's sometimes when you check them and then your conclusion is that, well, they're fine. They're in good shape. Don't need to come back for a while. Keep doing what you're doing.
I wish we saw more of that, but we don't. I mean, the statistics are here.
Yeah.
Over the age of 65, 70% of that population has gum disease. It would behoove anyone over the age of 65 to see a periodontist. The statistics are not in their corner that they are fine, and we're going to say you don't have to come back.
And to add something to that, anyone with diabetes is exquisitely at risk for gum disease. Anyone who smokes is also at very high risk, probably above the 70% significantly. So anyone, the diabetic, smoking, or any immune disorder whatsoever, they definitely should see a periodontist, no question about it.
Now, before we close out here, we only have a couple minutes left. Your office is located in Buckhead, and we've mentioned you're right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. By the way, that must be convenient. You're right across the street from the hospital should the need ever arise for somebody to...
Well, thank God.
God forbid, you know, but you're right across the street, you know.
Thank God that's only happened once, and the patient was perfectly fine, so that really was a non-issue. Thank God. But we are right across the street, that's easy.
It's nice to have it there. You
know? Yes, it is very nice.
Because people who are listening, they've never been to your office. You know, I think of you're right there on Peachtree. Okay, you're right across the street from Piedmont Hospital next to the Darlington. Is there a parking issue?
Not in our building, no. We That was an issue in our previous address, and that was one of the reasons we relocated to the office that we're in right now. Parking is pretty ample. It's pretty easy.
It's ample, and we also have reserved spots right in the front of the building for our patients.
So there's no parking problem? Because I don't want people to think, well, they can't come because, gosh, it's in Buckhead.
No.
What a hassle the parking's going to be.
Not only isn't there a parking problem, but we routinely pay for our patients' parking. So they don't pay anything. And there's ample parking right in our building and reserved spots for our patients.
You know, I got to say, that's a very nice little perk for a patient. I don't remember the last time I went to a doctor and they actually validated my parking.
Paid. I mean, that's what validation means. Yeah, we pay for it.
All right. On that note, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, practicing periodontist 30 years strong now here in Atlanta. Folks, visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. Until next week, Sue, Dr. Edelstein, thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Tuesdays at noon, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.